Hi, and welcome to the It's Raining, So What? Podcast series. I'm Kevin May, your host for the series and the director of the film It's Raining, So What? Where we take a look at really pushing through the boundaries of perceived limitations, things that might hold us back from realizing our full potential. And we explore what does it take when we hit these barriers or these boundaries? How do we get through them, or how do we go around them? And then ultimately, when we do, what kind of possibilities lie on the other side? So it's a really a journey of exploration and discovery that we're all on, and through hearing other people's stories of their examples of doing that and what it's done for them, we can all learn and hopefully be inspired to challenge our own perceived limitations a little bit and find out what's possible in our own life. In this edition, we're going to be talking to Amy Rosendahl, Joe Stone's fiance. And after watching and helping support Joe in his Ironman's journey after his accident, which rendered him a C7 quadriplegic, she too was inspired to push her own boundaries and really kind of test the limits of what is possible in her life. And she went on, after having done some half marathons and full marathons, she went on to do her first half Ironman last year in Boise, Idaho, completing a 70.3-mile half Ironman race. Now, this year, she's upped the game, and she will be attempting her first full 140.6 Ironman in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, on June 28, 2015. Thrilled to have you here, Amy, and we're going to jump right into it. First question I have for you, what in the world made you want to attempt an Ironman triathlon?
Well, right before Joe's accident, I finished my first marathon. You know, I ended up doing five marathons, but then I just kind of got bored with that, and I wanted to try to do triathlons, and that was right around the time where Joe was thinking he would do an Ironman. With Joe just going after the triathlon, I was like, that seems like fun, and, you know, I was looking for something to transition from just running races to something else, and it seems pretty natural. Like Joe always says, natural progression, you just want to set a bigger goal, and so that's when I signed up for Ironman.
Well, that certainly is a great goal, Amy. And I'm curious, do you see the Ironman as a competition against other people, or is it more of a personal journey or a personal goal for you?
Before the marathon, I hadn't even thought that I would be interested or capable of doing anything like that. It's more of just a personal challenge rather than a competition against other athletes. But of course, then when you're out there and you're on the bike, you want to pass that person in front of you. And then you want to pass the next person in front of you. Like, there's always that little bit of healthy competition, I guess, in your head, even though you're not necessarily going to beat them in the race, but you just want to pass them in the moment.
I've got to believe when you tell people that you're doing an Ironman, do people sometimes say, I could never do that? And, you know, if they do, how do you respond to that?
Well, people say that all the time. And I think that, you know, everybody has their own limitations that they've put on themselves. And some people say, I could never do that because they would never really want to do that. Like, a triathlon isn't their thing, so they don't want to go and swim, bike, and run. But maybe their thing is, like, to get really good at yoga. And so every day they, you know, work towards that. So I think there's two different kinds of people. One that is like, oh, I could never do that because they don't want to do it, but they're pushing themselves in other ways. Or then the other type of person is, oh, I could never do that because they really just don't feel like they're capable of that. And my response is typically, well, you could. Anybody can do it. It just takes the right amount of training and the right mindset. You need to train, and you need to build your body up and build your confidence and build up the endurance in your psyche too. You know that, oh, I did a 6-mile run. Maybe I could do an 8-mile run. That's just 2 more miles. But if you're thinking immediately 26.2 miles, I could never do that. You've already kind of closed the door before you even try the 2-mile run.
That's a great point. And I realize when you say that often we can be our own kind of our worst enemy or our biggest detractors. But yet if we reframe in our minds the way we look at something, it sounds like we actually could be our greatest fans and greatest supporters, regardless of what anyone around us is saying.
It really is what people set themselves up for in their mind. what they believe themselves to be capable of. And just, you know, a lot of people rule things out just because they've never tried it before.
Right.
So as you're doing your training, did you ever feel like you wanted to just give up? And if so, what do you do in those moments? How do you get through that?
Just yesterday, I went out for a bike ride, and I was thoroughly exhausted even when I woke up. But I still knew in my gut that I wasn't going to feel good about it if I didn't do it. And so I peeled myself off of the couch, and I went out for the ride anyway, and it was so difficult, and there were so many times on the ride that I wanted to turn around, because the whole way out, I was doing a little over a 2-hour ride, and the whole way out, I was just on headwinds the whole way, and it was so tiring, and my legs were just begging me to stop, and I almost felt like every mile, I was like trying to convince myself, like, oh, I can turn around up here, it'll be fine, you know, I have to work tonight, I should probably just not do as long a ride as I was planning. I should just turn around right up here. And I finally made it to Clinton, which was my actual turnaround. And I turned around, and it felt so good because then I had tailwinds all the way home. So it's just kind of getting through those mental blocks. I could have turned around at any point. There wasn't anybody else riding with me. There wasn't anybody else saying, come on, let's make it to that next spot. It was all on me, and it felt really good to overcome the inner voices in your head that are like, no, you're tired, you want to stop, because you do want to stop. And I know I'm going to have those moments in the Ironman where I'm going to want to stop because I'm just going to be exhausted. But it feels really good to push through that and keep going.
So it sort of sounds like when in the moment, when you feel like quitting, it's really tempting to, but if you can get through it and then after the fact recognize how you feel and look back at your accomplishment, that feeling is far greater than having given up. But are there times when it is okay to take a break? You know, where is that fine line between pushing and pushing too hard?
It is about pushing through when your mind is trying to tell you to quit and say no, but it is a delicate balance of pushing through, but also listening to your inner conscience as well and, like, making the smart decisions. But I think, too, as you push yourself through those limitations, for example, my bike ride, I think you're able to tell the difference a little bit better of when it's smart to turn around and when you're trying to convince yourself that it's okay to take a break, you know, even though you know in your gut you don't really need that break.
It sounds like we each as individuals really have to monitor our own bodies and ultimately figure out what are our limitations, and sometimes, you know, are they real or is it just, I just don't feel like it today.
You're just gaining more knowledge about your mental strength, your physical strength, and the difference between pushing yourself too far and pushing yourself to a new limit.
Mm-hmm. So the next question that I have is, all these lessons that you've learned through your Ironman training and also from watching Joe train for his Ironman attempt back in 2013 and seeing what he was going through, have you been able to take some of these lessons learned through your training and translate those, or how do you translate those into your everyday life when it's not just about a triathlon or a marathon or something, it's about day-to-day activities?
Oh, a lot of times I think of Joe when I'm in those situations and I want to quit, or I'm, you know, like when every time Joe and I have had to look for a new place and I'm just, you know, kind of filled with anxiety, like, are we going to find the right place before we have to move out of this old place? And I think it's just kind of having faith that it's going to work out if you just keep pushing forward and doing the right thing and just continue, whatever it is you're doing, continue putting effort into it, working towards your goals, even if it feels like you're being pushed back a little bit. It will all turn out the way it's supposed to turn out. It's just following your gut that it's gonna be okay and it's gonna work out. And if it doesn't work out, then you deal with that when it happens. You can't kind of have this expectation that something might go wrong, so I'm not even gonna try. You know, if you don't hit those limitations, then you never really know what you can push through when, you know, you're going for a goal and something actually stops you, and then you have to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. And it's in that reevaluation process that you kind of learn where your strengths are and how far you can push yourself and push through and what your limits are, if any. It's been so good for me to have Joe for so many reasons, but that's one of the biggest things that he's been able to teach me is just to be patient and have faith that it's going to, you know, work out the way it's supposed to work out. And if not, then we'll deal with it at that point. But there's no use in being concerned or being worried about something before it actually is a worry.
That's great advice. I like your approach to that. And so it sounds like often we can convince ourselves something bad might be coming when it hasn't even happened. So kind of interjecting that self-doubt or that concern when it really isn't or may not actually be real. So kind of live in the moment, sort of be present attitude. That's great. Have you ever faced skepticism or doubt from others? How do you respond to that?
Whatever your idea is, if you allow other people to tell you it's too crazy, you just have no idea what you're missing out on. When we moved out here, there were definitely even people that were like, you'll be back in a month. That's just too crazy. You don't have a place to live. You don't have a job. That's just crazy. You'll be back. And we're like, no.
Okay, so after having dealt with that and people kind of interjecting their own self-doubt on your decision, you obviously moved to Missoula. Now, looking back at it, what do you think? Was the move a good decision?
Oh my gosh, when we moved out here, it just felt so good on so many levels. It was where we wanted to be living. I was living in the mountains. We were doing adventures. I was around like-minded people. I felt like the people that live out here are just more my kind of people, I guess. And if I would have bailed on that, I just never would have known how much better it could be. And that can go for anything. That could go for someone like building their own business, and people be like, well, that's never going to work. That business is never going to work. Well, if you try it and fail, then you know it doesn't work. But what if you try it and it's amazing and it's better than anything you even could have imagined? You're going to be so glad you didn't listen to that one person that was like, that's never going to work. And when you try and fail, then you only gain new perspective anyways. Failing's not bad. Failing just kind of gives you the opportunity to look at a different route.
Amy, thank you once again for joining us on the It's Raining, So What podcast series and helping us all have a different perspective on things. It's often a way that we can learn from other people and apply those things in our own lives when and where they apply. And we thank all of you listeners for listening and sharing your time with us and allowing us to share this story with you.